So I hope you are now interested in God's attributes, because they are beautiful. They really are. And I hope you may adore them tonight. Without them, you can see him. And don't forget, those attributes are even not sufficient to completely know God. Even if you know all the names and all the attributes and the persons, you still know so little. Because God is infinite, right? Infinite in many ways. And we are finite. So it's impossible to really know God. He's more than his attributes. When you add all the attributes and you have the sum of them, you don't have God yet. God is too high, too majestic to be caught into attributes. God has attributes. Is that how you would say it? No. God is his attributes. He is love. He is righteous. He is good. He is faithful. He is almighty. He is. And even unbelievers can have some insight, some beginning insight into the attributes, the perfections of God. Although our understanding is darkened, yet everyone still has an antenna to have some idea of who God is, so that we have no excuse. We talked about that before. So we hope that the Holy Spirit may enlighten our understanding and the understanding of God's children again, and that so God's attributes may become more precious, more dear to the heart, and that we may have a desire to get to know that God better in order to walk with God. So that's the introduction about attributes, right? What was the other name again? Perfections. And it's not all them together. No, God is his attributes, and we talk about that because we need to know him, who he is. So may those attributes become precious and dear and beloved. So the first attribute I'd like to talk about is God's immutability. He's unchangeable. Unchangeable. Many of the attributes are not close to us, do not resemble us very much. Some attributes we have hardly anything of. This is one of them. Unchangeable. Always the same. No surprises. Always the same God. He does not change. We don't have much of that, do we? Maybe a little bit. We'll talk about that later. But it is typically an incommunicable attribute of God, because we have very little or nothing of that. Unchangeable. Other attributes are communicable. For example, God's love, right? We can love as well, don't we? So if we also have something of that same attribute, in a different way though, then we call it a communicable attribute that we share with God, in a sense. So some attributes of God are typically divine, are typically his and not human at all. So again, for example, his immutability. Nobody is so stable. Nobody else is so the same. So you don't change God. You don't. He can change. He wouldn't be God anymore. He's the unchangeable God. So that means that you cannot bribe him. that he comes to different opinions. His purpose is always the same. He does not change his purpose. His divine plan does not change. He doesn't change his plans neither. His promises, oh, they are so stable. He does not change his promises at all. He is always the same God. You know, some people are moody. You never know when that mood changes. And you think, oh. Or people come to completely different opinions. And sometimes people are two-faced and easily influenced. So they change all the time, and it makes life often chaotic and surprises. God does not change. That's good, huh? Does not change. But does it not say in the Bible that it repented God? That he had made the world? And repented the Lord that he made King Saul king? It repented him, the Bible says. How do you explain that? Well, I don't think I really can. Because I am not God. He is so much higher and more elevated and divine. I can't grasp it. But what I think it is that God expresses his displeasure that way. When he says, it repenteth me, it grieves me that I have made man, God is expressing his thoughts on mankind. So it's not so that God is changing, it's an expression. We call that an anthropomorphism, right? God has no hands, no eyes, but yet his eyes follow, as the Bible says, and he has a strong arm. So also this, when it says he repented, it's a way of letting us know that God was really deeply grieved. We also read that God is rejoicing in the conversion of sinners. So before, he was not rejoicing. And then he rejoices. He begins to rejoice when people repent. So is there not a change? You know, I'm getting dizzy. I just can't explain that. But what I know is that God is angry with sin. And mad in that sense. And at the same time also merciful. And somehow it is combined. But don't think that when God reveals himself as an immutable God, that he would be a hard God or an insensitive God. A God doesn't care without emotion. Just things stay the same. No. That's not who he is. We have to just think of all the attributes together. And they are one God. Immutable. Unchangeable. And us, are we? Are you? Are you unchangeable? Well, no, you would say, huh? You would say, no, I change. My opinions change. My career changes. So many things change. I felt this way before, and now I feel this way after. So we are as changeable as the weather. With people you never know. On top of that, we're getting older, so we change. The Lord does not change. Hopefully you're getting wiser. Not the Lord. He is as wise as he always has been. He doesn't change. So we are subject to many differences, to many changes, not the Lord. The Bible says in James 1, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. No variableness. Neither shadow of turning, not even a shadow of turning, no turning at all. And yet, we have to also realize that we are not completely changeable, There are things in people that never change. When you're sitting together at home, could you discuss that in a minute with each other? In what sense are people not changeable? What do you think? What do you say? Right. We still have the same soul. Does not change for eternity. We have a beginning, if no end, and we don't change into another person. You're still you, and you always will be. You may also have that same character. Maybe it doesn't change much over time. You're still you. And even your body, maybe you'll be resurrected, and you will always have your body. The body may become immortal, but then it won't change anymore, and it never changes into another body of another person. There's no incarnation or something. So what would for you be the comfort in God's immutability? Do you like it? Do you like Malachi 3 verse 6? For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed, because I change not. You change, but I don't. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. I like that. If he would be changeable, we would not be able to trust him. Immutability, unchangeable God. Let's go to the next one. There are many of them, and people even differ in opinion on how many of those attributes there are. For example, God's knowledge and God's wisdom, is it the same? Or God's invisibility and God's spirituality, is it the same? So we only pick a few of them. God's independence. As you know, babies are not independent, right? If you would not feed them, they would die. They are so depending, such depending on their parents. And even older people, and adult people, and strong people, healthy people, we are all so dependent upon God. But God is absolutely independent. Also called all-sufficient. It suffices what he has, what he does. God is never alone. He does not really need anyone. He can easily be himself and be by himself and alone in the Holy Trinity. He does not depend upon anything. What do you think? He owns everything. All the cattle on 1,000 hills, it's all his. So what would you give him? How would you bribe him? He is the God who is so satisfied with himself. So never think that God needs you. He doesn't. The Apostle Paul said it already in Athens, the first sermon he preached, that he is not a God who needs to be served by people's hands, as if he needed anything. God is never alone, is never powerless, never in panic, never grieved in the sense of, oh, I would like to help them, but I can't. It's all connected, all those attributes of God. He's the triune God, and everything is His. God is also, in this sense, so different from us. It's an incommunicable attribute of God, that He is absolutely independent, and we are dependent. We can't even move a finger without God. So what will we be able to give Him? He is, in this sense, so different from us. We are extremely dependent. And yet, although independent, He is also free and sovereign. Next, God is also eternal. Eternal. Eternal does not only mean that God has no beginning and no end. It also means that time does not exist for God. Let us not forget that time was created. Before the world and before the stars and before the thing, matter was created, there was nothing. There was nothing moving. There was even no time. There was even no space. There was nothing. No time, no space, no matter, nothing. And God was in existence already before everything began. He is from eternity to eternity. 1,000 years are in the Lord's eyes as the day of yesterday. So time is so relative to Him. He is eternal. He is not timeless. He is beyond the time, but He acts in the time. He has a creation. He is working in creation, so He comes into the time and into space with His Son. So things that have happened 1,000 years ago are forgot as if it was yesterday. We are not eternal, or are we? We are for sure not from eternity. But we are also people that are, in a sense, immortal. Our soul is immortal, as you have seen before. And even our bodies will receive immortality. So think about eternity. From eternity to eternity, there's God. And He creates people, and He gives them an eternal soul. And after the resurrection, gives them an eternal, immortal body to be eternally with Him, to be always with Him, always. You can hardly think about it. Always, always saved. Always be with God, with no end in sight. No fear that sometime it'll change. It goes on and on and on. So eternal salvation, eternal joy, or eternal hell. You know, the COVID-19 virus is not a problem. The problem is we have sinned against God. And we have a soul for eternity, we have a body that also will be resurrected. And we need to be prepared for it. Anyhow, anyway. Because it is going to happen. It's all in this eternal counsel. Eternity. Job 36:26. Behold, God is great and we know Him not. Neither can the number of His years be searched out. The number of His years cannot be searched out. Revelation 1:8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, said the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, and they took offense, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abram was, I am. He was God from eternity. 2 Peter 3 verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. God's eternity. It's an incommunicable attribute, and still we also have a tad of that. Yes, we call it an incommunicable attribute because it is mainly true for God and only a little true for the soul and the body. God is also omnipresent. Omni means everything, everywhere. So he is present everywhere, at any time. The omnipresent God. So God is not only infinite in time, but also infinite in space. He is not present in one place and absent in the other. He is omnipresent. And again, do not forget that God has created time and also has created space. There was no space. Can you imagine? I can. There was no space, no time, only God. And God made space. And he is bigger than the space he made. He is not only omnipresent, yet he acts in one place different than the other. Yet he is present, completely present, everywhere at all times. Again, the Apostle Paul, again in Acts 17, again on the Areopagus, he said to the Athens, people of Athens, in him we live and move and have our being. So imagine God's presence in your bedroom, at night, other places at the same time, in church, at catechism classes, school. He is omnipresent. So it is impossible to force God into space and lock the door. He also is in a sphere, he is sometimes present in a special way. He is everywhere, completely present, everywhere in all the details of God, not a part of him here, a part of him there, no. And yet he is also in a special way present, for example, in the temple, the most holy place, beyond the ark. But even heaven cannot contain him. God is too great. And don't think too much space-like. God is not infinitely big in space. God is outside of space, higher than space, from other category than space. So not in space far and wide, but out of space. God is not somewhere. He exists and is everywhere and not somewhere. Dazzling again. So God is present in the universe, but not in a pantheistic way. Pantheistic means that God is in everything, not in a pantheistic way. It's not so that God is in the trees and in the mountains, in the oceans, in the whales. God is also different from his creation. So he is, in a sense, omnipresent, not in a sense that he is in the time omnipresent, but outside of space, and yet different from creation. God is not present in the same way everywhere. Sometimes he is present in a punishing way, in a judgment way. For example, when there is a pandemic, as that's God's doing, right? Also the pandemic we are experiencing, as God's doing, is the presence of God. He's in there. God is sometimes present in a correcting way, sometimes present in a blessed way. And babies are born, sometimes in a way that he sustains things and controls things and governs things. And God is especially present in a special way in his Son, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is also present in a special way in his people. He is everywhere, he is also in people, but in a special way in his children's heart. They are the temples of the Holy Ghost. And he is present, differently present than in other people. God's presence. Amazing. What a comfort. That means that God is never far away. You never have to look for him. He is here. Bible text, Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. Deuteronomy 30, 14. Let me start with verse 12. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word, that's also God, but the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. So God is not far away. Also, something to be mindful of when you pray. You don't have to go to a certain place where God is. God, you can pray anywhere, at any time. So God is there. Also think of God seeing everything, right? Just noticing everything. Maybe you have more of that awareness. The awareness of God's presence everywhere. On vacation, at night, in the dark. No secrets for him. Can any hide himself in secret places that it shall not see him, that I shall not see him? Said the Lord, do not I fill heaven and earth? Said the Lord. Jeremiah 23, verse 24. He also sang of it, right? In Psalm 139. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make up my bed in hell, in the grave, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, God is everywhere. 1 more. The unity of God. Sometimes called the simplicity. No, God is not simple, but he is not chaotically complex either. He is not two-faced. He is one God, not double. One God. He is also not exist. He doesn't also exist of different parts, different layers. There's only one God, and God is everything that he is. It's not so that we see a part of God that is angry, and a part of God that is loving, and God has all different parts and sides. No, it is one God, and He is the same God everywhere, and all pieces, everything in God is the same. He is completely love. He is completely just. It's all the same. In Exodus 34, some of God's attributes are mentioned, and you hear the good ones and the serious ones. Exodus 34, verse 6 and 7. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sins, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children, and the third and the fourth generation. So some of those attributes seem to contradict one another. Is God just, righteous, loving, forgiving? Is maybe this part is forgiving, and that part is different. No, it's one God. His simplicity, His unity, not a group of attributes, but one God. You know, think of a picture. You can make a circle. And around the circle, different circles around it. All the attributes of God around the circle. So smaller balls around one big ball. That's not what it is. It's not so that God has those attributes as a chain around him. With all those different attributes, you know, make one circle and put lines in that circle. And lines this way. And lines that way. It's all in God. All those attributes are in God. And He is one. So God is not in conflict with Himself. He is at the same time gracious and just. Everything is integral in the Lord. So let us not think that some of God's attributes are conflicting with each other. It's one God. Well, a few questions. In what sense may we try to become independent? We talked about God's independence. We talked about children that are very dependent. Is it healthy to become more independent? Should parents also give young people the chance to grow up and to make their own decisions slowly, but gradually? I mean, yet indeed, I think so. That's a challenge, to give children more opportunity to become independent. And yet never independent in the sense that they are on their own. So I encourage young friends, when they grow up, to become more independent upon their parents, but more dependent upon God. That's the purpose. Is it good that we are people that can change? Suppose we wouldn't be able to. But in a sense, we don't change, right? So in a sense, we don't change. In a sense, we must change. We will change, because when we are alive, we someday will die. God won't die. So we change. But then after death, things don't change so much anymore. Although after heaven, there will be also a new earth. And after hell, there will be a lake of fire. But then for eternity, things won't change anymore. Think about that. Do you think that God's children sometimes have the feeling that God has changed? Do God's children sometimes have the feeling he changed? He has forgotten me? Absolutely. They think that way. Psalm 42. By thou forgotten me. I go out in mourning. So some in the feeling, in the subjective feeling of God's children in their heart, they feel kind of as if God changed. He does not change. I may emphatically pronounce, he does not change. Still the same God. Still the same goal. Still the same promises. Still the same threats. The same Holy Spirit. The same Jesus. Does God change when people are born again? No, but people are viewed in a different sense. Right? Although God views things from eternity, things don't change for him. Yet when a person is born again, he becomes from a child of wrath, a child of love and of the living God. So that's hard to answer that question. If God changed then, the relationship changes. God doesn't change. They become God's people. They change. God doesn't change. Let me see if I have questions here before I continue. I was listening in and was wondering if you know that it is suddenly offline. That is not a question, it is a comment. Hopefully that's okay again. Hi, Pastor, how would you address the mindset in some Christians today that God is loving over judging? I've come across people who use this as a reason to be LGBTQ affirming, etc. Yeah. Yeah, for some people, God is a different God than the God of the Bible. They take pieces of the Bible and build their own theology. The theology according to their own will. And they simply say, God is love, meaning that whatever you want to do, you can do. Because God won't say no. He loves people, he loves joy, so people may do what they like, what they think is healthy. We believe that God is love and also very strict at the same time. You know, like parents can be loving and strict at the same time, and they are so strict and so protective. And they become so angry when the children are doing things wrong because they love them so much. So in that sense, God is one. One God who does not change. And his justice and his righteousness and his love and his compassion are all one. And regarding the people you're mentioning, we preach unto them also that God is love. God is right and just and disagrees with things. He's also love. And that there is forgiveness possible and change possible. God doesn't change, but we can change. I have a few questions for you. You should answer yourself with yes or no. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 questions. Do you miss this God? You miss him? Are you in the dust before this God sometimes? Just calling upon him in the dust in prayer, feeling so lost and guilty? Do you know this God in his attributes? Do you know him? Can you say, yes, I think so. I got to know him. Do you love this God? Although he is righteous and holy and perfect and yet loving and gracious, immutable and yet so faithful, do you love him? Are you reconciled to this God? The infinite God, the independent God, the unchangeable God, the eternal God, are you reconciled with him? That's all that counts. This God I have pictured to you in the attribute becomes your God. Do you have the deepest esteem for him? Do you highly esteem him? Yes or no? Have you confessed your sins before him? Have you told him? Have you told him everything? Have you just said, Lord, this and this and this? My sins of youth and sins that time, and even my sinful heart and prone to evil and falling into sin and trying to fix it up. And have you confessed your sins wholeheartedly and everything to this God? Do you trust this God? Do you trust him? You don't? You can trust him. Do you believe in him? Would you like to have fellowship with him? That you're under the wings of this God. That's everything. I would say bring this in prayer before the Lord. Also tonight, before you go to bed, and ask yourself those questions also about God, whether this God is our God. So far.